Welcome to Parashat Re'eh. We have some very beautiful dedications today. We are going to dedicate our learning Leilui Nishmata, Batya Dina Bat Sadik Mordechai. I was excited about the name because we hopefully will get to learning something about Mordechai HaTzadik, so it happens to be beautifully fitting. Also, Leilui Nishmata Estel Hedeya, Estel Bat Elizabeth Aleha HaShalom, by her aunt Carol Silvera. May she have a very, very high aliyah. Also, in memory of Yehuda Ben Aviva, Leilui Nishmato, and for the Refuah Shelema of Shoshana Bat Yafa Esther. El Marifanala. We should hear good news soon. We're going to start in Parashat Re'eh. So in Yechumashim, it's on page 998. It's chapter 11, verse 26 in the book of Devarim. We'll just touch on the first word first and then see where it takes us. It's an unusual word, and it's an unusual way to start a parasha, because when you start a parasha that says re'eh, see, as human beings, we may start to think that there's an optical directive, that I should see something, see the land, something that I would look at with my eyes. But then the rest of the verse says, Anochi noten lifnechem, I am placing before you today, noten lifnechem hayom, placing before you today, beracha ukelala. I am placing before you today blessing and loosely translated curse. Maybe we're going to change the English for curse, because there's a word for curse called aor, which is when one person might want to say evil things should come to fruition for somebody else. That might be really a different story. Not sure what kilala is, but we're going to try and maybe get a better handle on it as we learn this. First thing before we do anything is let's notice that the word hayom, today, is really one of the main ideas of all of Torah, but it's in our pasuk, which means that all of us today should relate to this pasuk as it's speaking to us today. Now, what is it saying? On the simplest level, it might be saying, see, I placed before you today blessing and curse. But every single word has tremendous weight to it, because why would you tell me to see something? I can't really see what this blessing and curse is. It's not something I might be able to hear it. I might be able to do something else with it, but the sight word we're going to get to in a minute, it also uses the word, he doesn't just say, I am giving you blessing and curse, noten. Noten is a palindrome, nun taf nun, it could be read either way, meaning that blessing and curse, or the flow of either, is a reciprocal endeavor possibly. So that might be the word noten, but when it says lifnechem, it doesn't just mean before you, in front of you. In English, they might say in your face, which means something that's literally right in front of you. But maybe he's giving our faces, our literal faces, because he's telling us to see. And the next verse is going to tell us to hear. Maybe he's also telling us that our physical face has the ability to process and decipher whatever this beracha and kelala are, whatever this blessing and otherwise is. So it's a little bit difficult to swallow this one verse, and maybe I should say it from this, from the onset, just so you, I'd love if you could anticipate or try and see where I'm going with something. So I'm going to give you some markers or some inside information. Not many pesukim or not many parshiyot start with exactly seven words. And I'm not usually into word counting, but I have to say that at this point, Sefer Devarim, which is taking us back to the beginning in so many ways, it's taking us back to a promised land. It's taking us back to an idyllic place and state. It's bringing us full circle from where we are to where we're going to come again. And I've been saying this for the last few weeks already, that if the scroll of the Torah is cyclical, we should also think in our minds that Devarim and Bereshit, when Devarim ends, Bereshit is going to start. There is no end. You know, in Simchat Torah, the person who gets the Aliyah for the last part of Sefer Devarim, who's standing right next to him? It's a beautiful thing to see if you go to Shul on Simchat Torah. The Chatan Bereshit, the one who's going to have the Aliyah for Sefer Bereshit, is standing right next to him. And so the idea is we never finish, we just complete a cycle and start again. And so if we're going to say seven words just for today's concept, what God is saying, he's choosing to say it in seven words, and he's using the word Anochi, which I didn't even touch upon. Every one of these words needs its own shelf, needs its own pedestal, every single one. But for now, the seven words together should remind us right away. There's an unconscious part to us that when we read seven words, it's part of Sophia's consciousness, which she says, that's how our Sefer Torah started. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. What we're about to read here is Moshe telling every one of us, this is part of our nature. This is part of the way God created us, but this is also the way the world was designed. And if we're going to go back to an idyllic place and state, then I want you to be prepared for that as well. And what am I telling you? I want you to know that these two things exist, blessing and curse. And of course, we could say very easily, it's all about perspective. One person could see something as a curse, and later in hindsight realize it was really a blessing, or vice versa. One person could see something and think it was the best thing that ever happened, and then in the end they realize that it wasn't. So, of course, there's a concept of perspective. But what is re'iya? What is this concept of sight? I want an authentic definition for re'iya. And the only happy, authentic definition that I can accept is to know and recognize where this word was first created. Where does it first appear? And this is an easy one. You'll find it on page 2. So it's something that was created from the very beginning. So what does Moshe want us to see? Whatever it is that he wants us to see was already introduced to us on, I want to say, page 2. So maybe it's page 4. Let me see. It could be. No, it's on page 2. It's in verse... No, even sooner. It's in verse 4. Oh, it is page 2. Oh, you meant verse 4. Yes, I thought you meant page 4. What's happening here in this parasha? We're really going back to the basics, but we're upping the ante a little bit. And what do I mean by that? When Moshe is saying, there is this thing called sight, and sight's going to give you the ability to see with your faces or in front of you, blessing and curse. What is it exactly that we have to have? Moshe says sight, re'iya. What should we associate with sight? So if you look at verse 4, God sees too. What God does when he sees is what? What does God, whatever's happening in God's world with this word sight needs to happen with us, because why? Because we're in God's image and we're created to mirror him. So if he's gonna see, then we have to learn also to have this ability of re'iya, of sight, but a specific type of sight. Vayar Elohim et ha'or kitov. What does God see? He sees light, and he sees that it's good. Now, it's interesting because what existed before the light?
Darkness.
In verse 2, we had darkness. Did God choose to see the darkness? Or did he choose to see the light? When we're hearing in our pasuk today, blessing and curse, what is God saying when he says, or Moshe is saying when he says, I want you to see beracha, I want you to see blessing, yes.
Also, when there's darkness, there could be light. So you have like more.
So I'm so happy that you're saying that. Number one, probably the first thing we should say, is from the very beginning, from page two, there is not one. One cannot exist without the other. Darkness needs light. Light needs darkness, but one seems to dispel the other. Darkness really, but now we have to be a little sharper, darkness is the absence of light. See, we had darkness.
So it's not an opposite.
It's not really an opposite. It's a coexistence that we, Re'iya, I am placing before you the choice of what? I'm not even sure what I'm choosing yet, but I do know that this sight that's allowing me to see something is allowing me to process a reality in this world, light and darkness. It's telling me that God saw the light, and when he saw the light, that was Tov. And when there was no light, when there was an absence of light, there was Choshech. If we're going to plug in blessing and curse, we might decide to start to say that blessing is light and Kelala is absence of that light. Yes.
I see darkness.
Why do you say the word limitation?
Because if you have the inability or the limitation to see the light, you will see darkness.
So right. Okay, so Rina is now adding, I'm just going to repeat it for my Zoomers. We have Rina here, and she's saying that darkness is a limitation because it doesn't allow you to see what could otherwise be lighter or brighter, which is a very beautiful concept. You want to say something?
Yeah, I'll save it for them.
Okay, it's up to you. No, there's definitely, the Torah is going to give us a flow. And maybe since Rina used the word limitation, maybe I'll let that flow and take us to another very interesting concept in this parasha. And let me just say it so I'll remember to get back to it. There's a phrase that appears, I want to say 16 times. I believe it is. Yes, 16 times, and that phrase is "Bamakom Asher Yivchad," in the place that God will choose. And that's where I'm going to open my next segue, but first I want to hear what Lauren has to say. I love you. So Lauren is saying, of course this is reverberating and reflecting Bereshit, because in Bereshit, thank you, she's saying that when it talks about the Choshech is on Pene Tehom, the idea of the Panim. And let's just stop for one more second since we're fleshing these ideas out. We know that Panim is face, but what's so beautiful about Panim is that it doesn't just mean the external and the exterior, it also is describing Bifnim, what's on the inside. Panim and Bifnim, imagine they came up with one word that means internal and external. And then, of course, they'll say, of course, it's as plain as the nose on your face. We could see, we could read you, we could see you. So what's really being asked here is to not just see, but to perceive and to choose when you're seeing, what should we choose? The positive. He saw the audit was good. Asking us to see the beracha. Because why? Because the world was designed with both. And you could choose which one you want to focus on. They clearly want us to focus first on the beracha. And we'll flesh that out a little more. And in order to segue, maybe there's two things that are going to be very glaring in this parasha. One is this phrase that appears over and over, in the place that God will choose. And what's the context for that? God is telling us, I can come. This is all, everything that we're seeing here. What is blessing? If blessing is anything, it's an openness. Because she said curse was limiting or darkness was limiting. So blessing is going to be the opposite. It's shefa, it's abundance, it's an opening, it's a receiving, it's the ability to expand, it's expansion. It's all of those words are beracha, right? It's a very expansive word. And then in this parasha, God's going to say this very beautiful phrase. I'll take you to the first one of it so you could get familiar with it. Look in verse 5. It's chapter 12. It's page 1000 in the Baruch Humashim. And of course, it's talking about where we can and can't set up altars and pillars. But then it says, Ki'im el hamakom asher yivchar Hashem Elohechem, in the place that God is going to choose from all of your dwellings, from all of your tribes, to place his name there, Tidrishu Ubata Shama. I'm gonna pluck the pasuk out. I'm gonna put it up here now. It's up on the board. And what is this pasuk telling us? Any place that God chooses to have his name mentioned, right? Kol asher yivchar Hashem Elohechem, wherever he's going to lasum et shemo sham, lishchenos, that his name should reside, tidrishu ubat hashama, go there. But what's the word tidrishu? I want you to dig for it, like a midrash. I want you to seek it. I want you to, now in English words, I want you to find God beneath the surface. God's gonna reveal himself sometimes in a place that you have to do what? You have to dig a little bit. You have to sift a little bit. You have to move stuff away a little bit, and then what will happen? You'll see God. Now, I'm gonna press the pause button on this. I'm gonna take you to a few more of them. But before I do, I need you to have more ammunition to start to make your analysis. The Haftarah for today, for last week, for the week before, we had called those seven Sheva Denechamta. It's the Nachamu. It's after Tisha B'Av. We have 7 weeks between now and Rosh Hashanah, and every one of those weeks has a special Haftarah that's meant to comfort the people. Happens to be that this week is the third of those Haftarot. What does that mean? Anything to our ear? If we go back and we say, what was the first, the Shabbat after Tisha B'Av is called Shabbat Nachamu. Why do they call it that? Because the Haftarah begins with the words, Nachanu, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Maybe put your little ribbon here or something for a second. Turn to page 1196. For those of you who have a Tanakh, it's Sefer Yeshayahu, chapter 40. Verse 1, we're going now, this is the third week, but I'm backing up, I'm rewinding 2 weeks because I want you to get the whole sense. And you should know that the third of anything is called Chazakah. If you do one thing once, it could be a fluke. If you do it twice, lightning could strike twice maybe, but 3 times is considered Chazakah. It's considered established. It's considered something that is...
You could bear weight on it like a stool. Like
Chazakah, you could bear weight on it. I love you, because a stool with 2 feet, you can't really. But when it has a three-legged thing, thank you, it's a great analogy, you can bear weight on it. What'd you say?
Seal.
Oh, even
a seal.
Oh, like a seal, Chazakah. It's like maktub.
Moshe is praying to Hashem, he said, like Abraham and Yaakov, if they couldn't do it, then who?
Right, like the three. There's a very big thing with three. So three is a chazakah. And why am I even mentioning that here? Is because this week, and this is why what we're learning in Parashat Re'eh, the third week of this Nechamta, of this Nachamu, should be the week that we have chazakah. If God says, be comforted once, we could still be crying and miserable. Be comforted a second time. Maybe, maybe not, but by the third time, they say that even with apologies. You know, you go to a person after 3 times, you know, whatever. So 3 is a very strong thing. What were 1 and 2 for this to be 3? If we know what 1 and 2 were of our Haftarot, and we understand what this week's Haftarah is, we're going to see that it's exactly speaking to what our parasha is speaking to. And that is, if the first one is Nachamu Nachamu Ami, what is God telling his people after Tisha B'Av, after the fasting and the crying and the mourning? What is he saying? Not once, not Nachamu, Nachamu Nachamu. It's time for you to be comforted. And on your own time, in your own space, kedai, it's worth it to read the Haftarah. We don't have enough time for today, but it is a very beautiful Haftarah where God is going to bring beautiful comfort to his people. Thank you. What happens in the second Haftarah? And maybe this is not something that we would be expecting. Week one, God says, giving us a big hug and saying it's time for you to be comforted. Enough of the crying. We're going to move forward to a happy place. What do the people answer on the second week? Just the first verse. Vatomer Tzion. You know what Tzion says? Tzion is like Jerusalem. Azavani Hashem ve'Adonai shechechani. God has abandoned me and God has forgotten me. What?
It sounds like a howl.
I just finished telling you we have 7 weeks where you know, you could hear the music building up. We went from sorrowful and mournful tunes to a happy, beautiful tune of God giving us all of his hugs and comforts. And what do we turn around and say?
You left us.
You abandoned us. We don't know what to do with this. So if God speaks to us, and now we send back message, you left us and you abandoned us, what would you expect the third, which is this week's Haftarah, what would you expect would be this week's Haftarah? If God is in a comforting mood, what might he say? I'm here now. I'll never leave you again. Don't worry. It's all going to be fine. You're safe now. I don't know. I personally would have liked to hear something along those lines. Instead, the ball gets tossed. It goes from God to the people. The people say, God, you abandoned us. Like you would abandon, would a pregnant woman abandon her children? I mean, if you read it, it's pretty a thing. Abandon her nurslings, her sucklings. It's pretty harsh. The people are not in a happy place last week. That's why I didn't bring this last week, because it wasn't a happy story. But the story is going to crystallize this week. This week, the third one is the Chazakah. So it's interesting. It might be in the Gemara. There are rabbis and some of them Kabbalists who believe that the first Haftarah is considered Chesed. It's God, it's his kindness, it's his benevolence, and he's showering down all of his love to us. The second Haftarah is considered Givura, which could mean either strength or maybe, what did you say?
Pride,
right? Or maybe strength or harshness. It's a tough word, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But this third Haftarah, and I'll tell you what it's called in a minute, because they correlate to the Kabbalistic spheres, the Sefirot, Chesed, Gevura. If you know the Tiferet, then if you know the third one, it's Tiferet. I may as well go with it. Tiferet is beauty. This week, this Haftarah is going to speak to the parasha. The parasha is going to say, look, I want you to see that there's blessing and curse. And I want you also to know, if God forbid you're in a place where you feel that you're in a place of darkness or a place of curse, vayhi ere vayhi boker. The light always comes after the dark. That's the way the world was designed. There's always going to be some kind of a dark period, and then will come the light. So don't worry. If you're in that dark space, hang in there. The light's coming. And then we go to this week's Haftarah, and we see the strangest words. It's a little bit hard to even translate, but I'll read a verse or two for you. And these are the words of Yeshayahu. These are the words of the prophet Isaiah. And what is his response to to last week where we felt abandoned, and I happen to think it's very beautiful. Oniya, let's see if it's Oniya Seara Lonuhama. It's a little cryptic. In English, it might mean a boat in a storm cannot be comforted. A storm-tossed ship cannot be consoled. Keep, hold that for a minute. Well, maybe we should take one more minute and just flesh that out a bit more, and maybe Jacqueline wants to tell us something.
I feel like it means when you're deflecting all your problems outward, you're not going to be able to anchor yourself and to find how to best move forward, because it's just, your boat is in a ruckus because of the storm, not because of anything that you did. And it's making us think of Yonah when he was on the boat, and the storm, he deflected outward, oh, it's the storm, so I'm just going to, and he kept sleeping, and God saying, no, what are you doing? Stop blaming it on the storm. Turn inward and look at yourself, and this whole Haftarah to me.
I hope everybody on Zoom just heard, because I don't know if I could repeat as beautifully what Jacqueline said, but I'll give you a few key points that are spectacular to her analysis, and that is, she saw the word Oniya, and automatically she thought her brain went to Yonah, where ha'oniya chishba lehishaber, where the oniya, the boat itself, was thinking that it might break. And when, of course, when boats are personified and given anthropomorphic traits and characteristics, the oniya is thinking to itself, I might break. Of course, the oniya is Yonah himself. And in this analogy, we, all of us, in week three, after God telling us, nachamu, nachamu, and we're saying, God, we feel like you left us and we feel that you abandoned us, Jacqueline is saying the prophet is coming and responding to the people and saying, you know why you feel that way? Because you think that all your problems are going to be fixed from the outside. When what really has to happen, like a storm-tossed boat, its problems are external. The boat itself doesn't have a problem. The sea is right now doing what? Raging. And therefore, the boat can't find its sense of center. She used a beautiful word. She said, you can't find your own anchor. So you're saying something very beautifully, and I think that's what this parasha is going to be speaking to us. It's really asking, before we go back into Parashat Re'eh, how do we find our center? Add to that, if we can find our center, or we could find our consolation, or we could find a place of equilibrium, then what will happen? You know that Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem, that place that God is going to choose to reside his name there? Where is he going to choose to reside? Yeah. He's going to reside his name within us. So we have to start putting some of these pieces together, but the Haftarah is going to take us to a place that's totally unexpected, at least for me. Yes?
I find it to be very empowering.
Should be.
It really allows you to control, and allows it to control, I don't want to say your destiny, but your outlook, which is really the
There's always going to be a storm.
There's always.
My mother always says the fly went the wrong way, and it could ruin your whole day. Yes, the things that are external, if you're in that place, if you're in that space where a fly going the wrong way is going to drive you crazy, then where are you?
That's on you, I mean.
That's on you. Exactly. That's on you. So the Torah is already starting to tell us there's
going to
be darkness, but you are the light. And as long as you realize your own internal central light that's going to, like Jacqueline says, emanate from within. The minute you think that in order for you to be enlightened, what has to happen? An external light has to come and lighten you up. And that's what this Haftarah is. You're all adding so perfectly to the first. We're going to hopefully get to two verses of the Haftarah, but they're going to speak volumes. So let's look at this together, and you're going to love it, hopefully. So, an oniya se'ara lo nechama. The prophet is saying that if you are a ship that is or feels that you are being tossed, I'm never going to be able to console you. Hineh So now let me tell you, Anochi marbitz befuch ovnayich, there it's a mouthful. I am going to lay your floor. I'm going to pave the road for you in English terms with pearls, and I'm going to make your foundation sapphires, safirim. If anybody loves precious gems or jewels, you're going to get a lot of them here. There are going to be emeralds, there are going to be rubies, there are garnets, there's beryl, there's a lot of precious stones taking place here. So what is God saying? He's saying, or the prophet is telling us, if you feel like you're a ship that's being tossed in the sea, if that's how you see yourself, you're not going to be comforted. So let me tell you this. I'm going to pave for you, if anybody's thinking of the Yellow Brick Road and the Emerald City and all of that stuff, they get their stuff from here. A lot of their inspirations are coming from Tanakh. Why? What is the Torah telling us when it tells us things like your roads are going to be paved with the pearls and your floors are going to be made out of sapphires? And then it says this odd verse, Vesamti kadkod shimshotayich. It's, again, a little bit, for me, cryptic. It's not your run-of-the-mill Hebrew words that most of us would be able to translate. But in Hebrew, it's saying, I am going to make your shimshotayich. What might be your windows? Your glass is the thing that allows a window is going to be called a shimshotayich because it lets the light of the sun in. But what is this? What is this window going to be made out of? Here it says kadkod. The English here is going to describe it as rubies. It's very hard. There are other translations, and I've been through many of them. Some say it's actually diamond, because that would make more sense that the diamond could refract the light if that's what your window is going to be made out of. So that could be possible. Me, I'm just excited by the fact that he's not just laying a floor for us, he's giving us a home, and our home is going to have windows. And Frida's here, so she'll tell you that the windows to the soul are through the eyes. And maybe the idea of refracting, I may have spent too much time researching this, but because then you go looking at diamonds, and you look at light, how it refracts. But just to say this one thing, the idea that light can come into a home, he's going to give us windows to allow for the shemesh to come in. But maybe the way that the light's going to come in and be refracted means that what? That we, you and I, could both see the same light, but we might see it very differently. You're busting, so go for it.
So the first reference is rubies. Is this rose-colored glasses?
Yeah, so that could be rose-colored glasses, which is a very beautiful thing. Rose-colored glasses means you see everything beautifully. So a lot of these terms could have their foundation in these haftarot. But then I saw one translation that just drove me crazy. I'm still hoping I could give it over well. It describes what kadkod is. And I believe that the argument is in the Gemara. They say that there were two angels, Michael and Gabriel, fighting, trying to define this word and trying to figure out what God was saying when he's saying that your windows are going to be made out of this substance. So it happens to be that Michael, who's known as the angel of Chesed, he's known as the, you know, because the other one's Gabriel, Gevurah. Right? Didn't we just say that we're going through our haftarot? So if you're taking notes, I may have lost you already. But if you're going through the first haftarah would be chesed, and the second haftarah would be gevurah, kindness and strength, which we're going to have to flesh those out in a minute. God is saying in the third haftarah that this substance that the windows were made out of, the angels were debating, and one said it's made out of onyx. The other one said it's made out of jasper, different type of stone, and they were fighting, and it says about them that God said, you and you, you're both right. And then the reader is stuck and saying, what are you talking about? What is the substance of the mirror? Is it jasper or is it onyx? And then there's the joke of the rabbi that my father used to tell. The husband would come in, say, my wife, this, this. He'd say, you're right. And the husband's wife would come in, my husband, this, this, and say, you're right. Then the rabbi's wife would come in and say, how could they both be right? And he said, you're right too. And that's what Tiferet is. But the Tiferet, it sounds like a joke, but now we could realize, what is God telling us in this third Haftarah? He's telling us that in order to let the light in order to have a window that's going to allow yourselves to be enlightened, what do you need to have? You need both chesed and gevurah. You need kindness, and when I say kindness, the first place that kindness starts is where? Is within us.
Well, also, Vivian, that's why the end of, it's Hannah, hi.
Hi.
The end of the pasuk says, lab nechesed, and chesed is desire, it comes from your heart. And then the next pasuk talks about children. So when I was reading this, I was thinking, this is how children are. One wants this, this and this. And Hashem is saying, like, you're my children. You can be bigger. You can have different opinions, but it's all good.
And the most important thing, thank you for saying that, is we're talking about Sion. We're talking about Yerushalayim. We're talking about Shalom. We're talking about bringing together differing things. But the thing I love most about what Hannah said is Le'avne Chefetz. What are these stones called? What is chafetz? It's what you want it to be. Which is going back to Re'iyah. Which is, you get to decide when you see something, how you're going to see it. You
like
get to make the choice.
It's like mine.
It tastes like whatever you want it to taste like, is I'm guessing what you're saying. That's great.
Yeah.
So
onyx is black, Vivian.
Okay, so there are, it's funny you should say that, so thank you for saying that, because if we wanted to really get an idea of what, because the English is going to say onyx, I should use the Hebrew word, for onyx is shoham. And the,
shoham.
Yeah, hold on, and the word for jasper is yashper. Jasper. It comes from, the word jasper comes from, the yud becomes a J, like Yehudim, Jewish,
yeah.
Or Judah, Yehuda. So yashper is jasper. So really, if I used the Hebrew words, you would be happier. I'm not talking about a black stone, or possibly, and you'll see why, because a coal is black, but then it has the ability to do what? To light up. So hold all these thoughts. Come on, now jump on my crazy bandwagon. We took the Haftarah. We're trying to figure out what the windows of the house that God's going to build for us are made of. And we know that the house that he's going to build for us is really, if I'm the ship, then I'm also what? The house. God is also doing what? He's also building us. And he's telling us how he's going to, because we went back to creation, right? How he's going to recreate us. And in recreating us, we're trying to figure out, so what are you going to make our windows out of? And then we have this big argument between two angels fighting, which makes no sense. And God says, all right, I'll make it out of both shoham and yashped, onyx and jasper. And then we're left saying, "What? Why would they even bring me such a story unless they realize that we know, because we're all in the know, that as soon as they mention these two stones, because we're so sharp, that we're going to put two and two together.
The Kohanim.
The Kohen used to wear a choshen, and on that choshen were stones. And now all we have to do, if we're being detectives, is put together which stone was shoham and which stone was yashped. And thank goodness for us, very easy, all we had to do is go back and read in the Choshen of the Kohen Gadol which tribes are the tribes that correlate with shoham and yashped. And sure enough, what are we going to see? We're gonna see. I thought it was Yehuda. I was Googling my lungs out yesterday. Don't think. I was a little surprised myself. I wanted to see Yehuda and Yosef, and we had the Vayigash again together. I was hoping, I don't know what I was hoping to find, but this is what we found, so we're gonna work with it. Yosef and Binyamin. Hang on to your seats for a second. The kingdoms, why are you saying that?
Because
they're Menashe, you're going to say?
Well, I say Navi.
So I would have wanted like Dan or something. I would have wanted the 10 tribes and the two. I would have, I don't know.
They couldn't come to an agreement.
They couldn't come to Shalem. So yes, Miriam is telling us that these two stones, I believe, have to be stones that either represent two separates, or maybe two separates that are now going to come together as one. So, it's your day today. I'm going to come back to you in one second, but Jacqueline's jumping out of the seat.
I always say, if I had a free name for a boy, I would pick Benjamin, because he's really the cause for all the brothers uniting. In the end of the day, all the brothers united because of what Yosef asked of the request for Binyamin.
You don't even know, ladies, you have competition over here in the Hathaway Shul. You got some good minds over here. So I'm going to take you two as a springboard. We have Lauren here who's saying, just to fill you in, that of course Yosef, because Yosef in Mitzrayim was the Mashbir. He was the one who would sustain and sponsor and feed, and he was the benefactor. Maybe we'll use that term. He was the benefactor of his family. But then you get Jacqueline here saying, well, of course Binyamin, and why am I so excited for Binyamin? Because Tzadik Mordechai, Ish Yemini, Hayah Beshushan Abira, Ushmo Mordechai, Ben Yair, Ben Kish, Ish Yemini. Wait a minute, if I'm going to use Yosef as my poster child for Yosef, and I'm going to use Mordechai as my poster child for Binyamin, we have to recognize what our crazy Midrash is telling us, that the windows are made of both of their stones. Let's talk about this for a minute.
Maybe we have to go back to the first Haftorah. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami means you have to comfort each other. And all of the, and if the destruction came from everyone separating and fighting, maybe the way back.
Zella, Chazaka, Uberucha, every class I get smart from you guys. I just come with like a little piece, I throw it on the table, and then I go home with a cupcake because I have this from all of you. I'm going to repeat what Zella is saying, is maybe the Nachamu Nachamu being said twice in week one, which was the week of Chesed, is saying, for me to comfort you, that's one thing. But Nachamu Nachamu is being said twice because the idea is for you to comfort each other. God comfort, I'm going
to
go,
from Hashem.
Hashem wants to be comforted too, yes, but I'm going to go back to what Jacqueline said for a minute. If you're expecting the comfort to come from an external source, how much comfort is that going to yield? Yes, externally, tenuchamu min hashamayim, we tell the mourners, may you be comforted from heaven. We are the ones saying it to them, so we're saying between us and heaven speaking to you, may you be comforted. But what are the people showing us in week two? We feel abandoned, and why do we feel abandoned? Because the comfort has to come from where? From inside. But then Zella's adding an extra piece, and she's saying, at least when we comfort each other, we're starting to repair. The reason the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed in the first place is because we couldn't get along with each other. So at least if we could come for each other in our times of pain, and we could comfort each other, maybe we will ultimately become comforted because we will be repairing the original problem. And all of that is beautiful.
Brothers.
And brothers. And brothers and brotherhood and all of that. So wait, I want to. Yes.
I found this chart that says that these 12 stones in the Shvatim also have to correspond to the months.
I know.
It says that there's no end.
There's no end.
Wait, listen. Binyamin is Jasper, which is March, which is crazy because it's Purim and it's Ishimini.
See what I'm trying to tell you. You want to know why I need the Wi-Fi wherever I go. Thank you, Hannah. So Hannah's going one further, and she's saying, of course, Binyamin is going to correspond to the month in which Purim takes place, because it's his month. That's the month, and let's start again. Let's take a wider stance for a minute before we narrow it up. I'm sorry I'm pointing to you, Lauren, but you suggested that Yosef is the mashpir, the benefactor. Let me take that one step further, just easy peasy, nothing too complicated. If I had to think in terms of what Yosef might represent as the giver, and might I add, who's he giving to? People who probably don't deserve his kindness. His flow of generosity is going to the very same brothers who sold him and left him for dead. So if I'm gonna say that my windows have a component of Yosef, it means that they have a component of a generosity that knows no bounds, and here's the part I want you to say, has no judgment. Yosef is not, if anything, we could take it back to Michael, who I said was Chesed, the kind one. Angels could only do one thing. What's the one thing? You give them one job. You say, you, Mr. Angel, your kindness. He only knows how to be kind. He doesn't know how to not be kind. So if Michael and Yosef are both standing saying, what should we do with these brothers of ours? Sons of guns. They decide, oh, now you need food. Now you come to Egypt. Ha, ha, ha. Now I'm going to make you pay. They don't know how to say that because they're only kindness. So on top of giving them food that they may not even deserve, what does Yosef do that would knock our socks off? He tells them, you're so fantastic. Because had you not sold me, what did he re'eh? He sees the beracha in the darkness. He says, had you not sold me to Egypt, then what? We all would have died and we all would have starved to death. So thank God for you. He didn't just make him self feel better about the situation. He didn't just nachamu himself. He nachamu'd his brother. He gave them a chance to be able to hold their heads up. Who could face anybody after what these brothers did? So if Yosef is going to be the all kindness part, what are we going to see as Binyamin? Now, Binyamin we used as Givura. And I had said judgmental, but there are other parts to judgmental. The word gibor is what? Strength. What does the gibor have the ability to do? It's going to go perfectly with her whole thesis that she's formulating that says what? What kind of strength are we talking about? Take me to Mordechai HaTzadik. What kind of strength does he embody?
To be on one side, to be like a Eved Hashem Ivri. On one side, or everyone else is somewhere else.
I want to really take you in this direction, because it is Purim. I'm going to go back to your March theory. Okay. What is happening in March in Purim? We're taking
chutzpah,
all the evil.
The springtime, because the earth is waking up. And
yes, yes, yes. So what are we doing on Purim? Or that time of year, or Mordechai, put everybody in the same category. Venahafohu. Givura means having the ability to take something in the physical world that's either bad or evil and do what? And change it. That takes tremendous strength to take a coal and turn it into a diamond. It takes tremendous pressure. What is Binyamin going to, and now we could maybe add another tiny layer, what is Binyamin going to signify for us or highlight for us? If Yosef is the Eben Shoham, onyx is a stone that gives light. I know the onyxes of today, it's hard to, you know, onyx, and you're saying, I don't know, it gives light, but the onyx, that's why I can't use the word onyx. I want to say shoham. And maybe let's be comfortable with a new Hebrew word that we're going to adopt, which is the stone of Yosef. The stone of Yosef is a radiant light that gives light from itself. The jasper, the yashpid, what does it do? It absorbs, it grabs, it's a hopper. What does hop mean? To take, to grab. Like Binyamin is a wolf, he's a grabber. What does that mean, he's a grabber? He's able to grab something and do what?
Transform it.
And transform it, perfect word. So what are we saying? We're saying that God's telling us, I'm gonna make your windows, which I'd like to say are your eyes, but I don't just mean your eyes. I mean your sense of perception. I'm gonna make your sense of perception be comprised of two elements. The element that does what? That radiates. And the element that does what? That absorbs. And now all of a sudden, our haftarot start to make sense. Because if Yosef is the benefactor, and he represents the first haftarah, the one that's showering upon us, whether we deserve it or not, God is going to say, I want you to be comforted. Enough suffering, enough crying, enough misery. Nachamu, nachamu. That's the benefactor. And then the next haftarah is going to say, God, you left us. What does the third haftarah have to do? It has to respond and say, God left you? God never left you. God's always been where? Inside of you. It's your ability to process his presence, which is going to bring us back to B'makom Asher Yivchar in this week's parasha. It's your ability to realize that God's going to choose to reside his presence where? Within you. But how, says human? How? What do I need to do? I need to have both. I need to have the showering from above, which might, again, be Yosef or God or Chesed, which just rains down upon the entire world. But I can't just have that, because too good, no good. Because if your child says, give me matches, you can't say, here you go, honey. You know, if you want to know where the sulfur is, and no. Too good, no good. You need givurah. You need also strength to be able to say, there's a limit, like you started to say. So what is God saying? You want me to reside within you? You need to recognize that the world is comprised of Yosef, who's just going to give and give and give, and of the growth that comes from below. Meaning, don't just expect me to shower you down, nachamu, nachamu, I love all of you, unless you're willing to do your work like Mordechai from Binyamin, like the stone who does what? It takes in the light, it absorbs it, and then does what? Shines it back upwards. So what do we need to be? If we're going to be these mirrors, then we need to be able to absorb. You can go to a class, and you could just listen to what somebody has to say. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. I'll do my best. But if you absorb it and take it in and becomes a part of you, then that's going to be, you're going to internalize it. Thank you. That's going to have a much longer lasting effect than a movie I may have watched on Netflix that the next day you asked me, what movie did you watch? I can't even remember the name of it, because I may have even cried while I was watching the movie. And it may have moved me to tears while I was watching it. But did I internalize it? Did I make it part of who I am? No. So it's gone. It's fleeting. So God's saying, you know what? If you're going to take my light, my chesed, and you're going to transform it, and you're going to internalize it, and then you're going to be like the jasper that's going to shine it, or like Mordechai. I'll give you a better example On Har Sinai, on Shavuot, God gives us the Torah. That's one time. When's the other time that he gives us the Torah? This is for Hannah. On Purim. Why? Kimu v'kiblu. Thank you, because they accepted the Torah, which means they internalized it. It became part of who they are, and then they were able to be receptacles of Torah. What is this parasha telling us?
Stone is also it's crazy. So there's a translation that the stone is not onyx, the Yosef stone. It's beryl.
Beryl. I saw beryl that too. I did a lot of research.
The light, and it's very perfect. It has very few flaws, and it's a hexagon shape, which is like the yud k vav k. Giving out light.
Hannah, you call me after class. We could talk about this. There's so much. If you want to Google this on your own, please. It's just something that ends off. There's no end. My challenge is actually bringing you the smallest digestible pieces, because what's out there when you start to dig, there is just a overwhelming amount of information. I'm giving you this much of it, just so you know. And if it's sounding complicated, trust me, it's nothing. Because let's just go back maybe now to Parashat Re'eh, I'll end the Haftarah piece by saying a few things. Like Hannah said, Le'avne Chafetz, the stones will be what you choose. You choose what your percentages are, because you're actually those windows. You're going to be 10% chesed and 90% givurah. Sometimes yes, and sometimes that's the right way to be. And sometimes you need to be what? 9 parts chesed and 1 part givurah and somewhere in between. But know this, says the Torah, that flow that you are reflects the flow that exists in the universe, the flow that God is showering down, and the light that we send back. And if we're successful in creating this flow, and maybe I sometimes use this analogy, maybe I'll use it now just so we have cemented in our brain, how strong, if I have my cell phone in the middle of the desert, the tower, depending on how close or far or strong or weak that signal is going to determine whether or not I have reception. Now, me and my friend could both be in the desert together and says, oh, I have 4 bars. And I'm saying, oh, no, I don't even have a half a bar. Sometimes the amount of reception that we have depends on the phone itself. Some phones are better at receiving. They have a better antenna. They have a better whatever the word might be, a better receptor. What is the Torah telling us? Both are important. The signal is important. What is being brought into this world, or what we are allowing to come into our range, and also our level of openness to receiving it. That's the same as the above from Yosef and the below from Binyamin, as the Evan Shoham that's sending the light and the Evan Yashper that is reflecting the light. It just so happens to be even more beautiful. I don't know which pieces to tell you, but I'll tell you this because to me I find it beautiful. It happens to be that the two daughters, the two sons of Rachel are the ones that are being highlighted here. The two sons of Rachel who's Mevaka al Baneha, Rachel, who's the one who's crying for her children to come back. Rachel, who's the one who says, I did what? I shrunk myself so that my sister could shine. Rachel, who they say is the only one who could go up there and storm the gates of heaven and say, God, if I could have mercy on my sister, then you need to have mercy on your children. So it happens to be very beautiful that these two stones that represent Yosef and Binyamin, who are the children of Rachel, are telling us an additional story. And they're saying, you want to come back into Eretz Yisrael, then the two brothers have to come in, like somebody said, holding hands. I need Yosef and Binyamin together. I need both of them. Rachel knew when she had Yosef, who was going to be the one who's bringing all the light from the heaven, she said, please, God, Yosef li ben acher, send me another one. Because my family is not going to be complete if all of the energies are positive energies coming from the heavens. She knew that in order to be the windows, in order to be the place where light and godliness and divinity is going to shine through to us, she knew that you couldn't just have the light. You needed somebody who was going to absorb that light and reflect it back. That flow was of the utmost importance. And she died giving birth to Binyamin. I'll say it differently. She was willing to die for the sake of the flow from heaven to earth to be complete. That circuit, if you just send energy one way and it doesn't come and go back up, the flow ends. That's what Parashat Re'eh is telling us. You want to know HaMakom Asher Yivchar? You want to know which is the place that God is going to choose to rest his name there? Well, let me tell you, and we didn't get to go through all of them, and I apologize, but again, nice little exercise to do on your own. The Makom that God is going to choose, in the simplest terms, is the place where there is a flow. And sometimes for the flow to happen, you have to dig a little deep. And if we went through them, and again, I apologize that I got carried away with myself, but I will say this. In many of those places, it says, Usmachtem. That's where you're going to find simcha. Where are you going to find simcha? In the place where there is a constant flow. In the place where I have chesed and gevurah. Where I have from above and I have from below. And that's why God told those two angels, you and you. We need both. And we need both of those traits ourselves. We need to start to be able to combine, synchronize, synthesize, enmesh strength and kindness. Because that's what Tiferet is. That is what Rachamim is. That is what beauty is. What is beauty? We have a decorator in the house. Beauty is not just everything, one color, one thing. Beauty is being able to do what? To have a symphony, to have a, give me a word, to have a balance. You can't just have everything one color. You have to be able to balance and incorporate and coordinate and enmesh. Thank you. I have human thesauruses here. Yes, Miriam's raising a hand. Give me one second.
About the stones, I kept thinking about a prison. How if a window is smooth, the light comes in, okay, very nice, it's more positive. If the light is refracted and reflected like a prism, you actually see the rainbow, which is the colors in the sky already, but you can't see it until you do something with it, transform, bend, whatever.
Right. I'm so happy that you're now taking this information that's coming to you. I hope and I pray that you sort of marinate it. I don't know if I gave a lot or a little. I didn't get to half my stuff here today, but I will say that let's hope and pray that the windows to our soul are able to have space for both kindness and for strength, and that we're able to find the right balance at the right time with the right situation and bring tiferet to ourselves and then shine it to everybody else.
Amen. Amen.